Surely one of the most memorable days of recollection I've given was in Washington when I was asked to prepare the missionaries of charity for they took in the AIDS patients in their residence in Washington, D.C. With all the charity, with all the love of Christ, but to be sure that these men recognize humbly before God that they have sinned. Second recommendation on how to master. Realize, and this is not easy, realize that these urges, as passionate as they may be, as disorderly as they can manifest themselves, they are not sins. In teaching priests to direct souls, I've never tired by the hour, by over the years, there are several hundreds of hours, tired telling the priests to be sure to help the people to distinguish between a sinful urge, no matter how long it lasts, no matter how pleasant it may be, and sin, which is in the will. Moreover, there's such a thing as full, complete, total, willful consent. And here, I repeat, in directing souls, this is crucially important. The more spiritually sensitive a person is, understandably, the more concerned that individual is not to offend God even in the least peccadillo. Beautiful. Well, the evil spirit is always active, always around, trying to confuse, trying to stir up trouble. And his favorite tactic were those who want to serve God. And this is, if I can use the word, demonic infallibility. He will cause worry, anxiety, which is devastating to the pursuit of sanctity. So then, recommendation two, realize, no matter how strong or long-lasting these urges may be, they are not in themselves sins. Third recommendation, avoid what I call avoidable stimuli. In other words, there is such a thing as tempting God. Strange language, but it's part of the church's vocabulary. In other words, as I come to know myself and whatever else the retreat is about, it better be to increase my self-knowledge. That I learn from experience reading certain books, even certain kinds of literature, thumbing through a magazine. Oh, how alert! How alert we should be with the thousands of outlets for, you name the ideas, that are being broadcast through the modern media of communication. And I'm bringing this in to the retreat now, with the hope that you will take this up very seriously. Here you will learn what we call that stimuli in terms of reading, in terms of viewing, in terms of conversations with certain people, certain situations, that before God, I, someone else, may be able to do it. I might be able to do it in another day or another year, but not now. Over the years, I've never tired repeating the adage in Latin, nihil intellectu nisi prius in sensu. There is nothing in the mind unless it was first in the senses. Either you resolve during this retreat to make an inventory of the use of your senses in what you hear, what you see, what you read, or, and I mean it, I'm wasting your time this weekend. The world in which we live, and I'm not using these terms rhetorically, is hell-bent on penetrating our minds through the sense stimuli, including sex stimulation, but not only, ideas, in print. Since he has publicly spoken about Father Hardin, I think I can publicly speak of him. All you got to do is read Richard McBrien faithfully every week. And if after a year you still have your Catholic faith, it will be a miracle. In other words, what we're calling stimuli, because of our preoccupation with sex, most people associate that with, well, stimulation of the sex passions, but not only, not even mainly. We've got to be much, much, what verb shall I use? We have to guard, we have to protect our minds, and I say this as never before in 2,000 years of Christianity. Print was discovered in the late 15th century The 16th century was the century of mass revolution and the loss of six whole nations to Catholic unity. The late 19th century was the beginning of the discovery of electronics media. The 20th century is the most revolutionary century for ideas in the history of the world. And those in control of the communication of ideas, what a safe statement, are not disciples of Jesus Christ. Before we finish the retreat, I'll try to make sure that I'm not telling you to go into protective custody. No. But we better know how our minds are being fed, because there is so much, not just untruth, but demonic persecution of the truth. That we're going to serve Jesus Christ in our day, you better know how much I can take, and notice, not just take in the sense of swallow. Never expose your mind to any ideas which you are not prepared to cope with and put to use for the betterment of others. Never, never. For the recommendation, we're asking ourselves how to master our sinful tendencies by daily self-examination. Believe me, men, this is not a pious cliche. Daily inventory of our conscience is, well, just fundamental good business in the spiritual life. Imagine running, a Pizza Hut or an even small place of business without a daily inventory. It's crazy. And yet, the most important business in the world in which we are engaged, the business of our own salvation and sanctification, and the business of property with Christ in the salvation and sanctification of others, we better make a daily inventory. St. Ignatius, what excuses men, see, when they were sick, all kinds of other duties. Even a man was dying, hear it, he would not excuse him from making the daily examination of conscience. But he said, he is in more because he's dying. Number five. Earnest prayer. How well I know you make retreats, you say to yourself, well, I knew it was coming. A, B, C, D's, and he has to pee, he's got to talk about prayer. believe me, this is of the essence of our spiritual life. I like seeing Robert Bellarmine's description of prayer. Prayer is the air we breathe to remain alive in the grace of God. Prayer is the air we breathe to remain alive in the grace of God. Really, it's not because God needs us to tell Him what we need, but He knows that we need to bring our needs before Him. And I want to be very frank with you. I'm talking here especially about mental prayer, which I like to call thinking in God's presence. Be open with our Lord. Don't hesitate, I mean this, to call people names in prayer. Lord, that I'm not even telling you to watch your language. You read the Psalms. Woo. Some of the nasty names of the psalmist, especially David, had for his enemies. Lord, help me. And finally, the sacraments, and that's plural. We believe this. We wouldn't be here unless we did. But that's plural. The sacraments are both confession and Holy Communion. We need it, and this is where we'll have occasion to say more about this before the weekend is over. Pray that bishops be enlightened on the divinely instituted sacrament of confession, which requires verbal confession of sins. Otherwise known as auricular, the ears of the priest will hear what the penitent verbally confesses. One of the first things that the rebels, when they broke with the Catholic Church in the 16th century, one of the first things they did was to draw confession. And this is happening in our beloved Catholic Church today. In the name of God, pray, I repeat, for bishops. He might be enlightened. 25 years in working for the Holy See has given me, I don't say courage, but has given me a certain license in speaking out. Most of what I know, of course, I don't communicate. This I can say. Confession. How often the Church tells us, if I want to gain a plenary indulgence, I must have gone to confession. And no general absolution will do. I must have gone to confession 8 days before or after I performed the good work or said the prayer which carries with it a plenary indulgence. For the sixth decision, find priests who are strong believers in the sacrament of confession. if necessary, impose on them. If they complain, blame me. And communing, how many times I've said this, for the first 300 years of the church's history, Christians went to Mass and communion daily. They needed it. If they needed it, so do we. Lord Jesus, the most important thing we need is to know how to profit from this struggle. You alone can teach us that our sinful tendencies are meant to be the road to sanctity, so that overcoming my own particular sinful urges with the help of your grace, I may become outstanding in the very virtue contrary to which I am so strongly tempted. Because, dear Jesus, you tempt no one, but you do test our loyalty, and we prove our loyalty to you especially by coping with and overcoming what each of us knows is our own urge to assert my will against your divine will as I overcome those tendencies. I will grow in that holiness which you reserve for those who were sinners, but because they were sinners, became great saints. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
forgive us,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.